Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm honored by the invitation to speak at the Philadelphia Society. To be a speaker here is a great privilege and an unbought grace of life, indeed. Well, what's the future of conservatism and classical liberalism in Europe? Despair is a sin, so I am going to avoid the temptation to provide you with a short answer. None, there is no future for conservatism and classical liberalism in Europe. Instead, I am going to provide you with a slightly more optimistic, which means longer answer, even though I hope it will be not too long. Having commissioned me to speak, you should not feel like the gentleman on the board of Titanic who had indignantly told the waiter, "I know I have ordered ice, but this is ridiculous." Well, speaking about conservatives and classical liberals in Europe, I must start with the observation that many of our best and brightest had left Europe for America to become co-founders of American conservative movement. Those were such famous classical liberals like Ludwig von Mises, Friedrich von Hayek, and Ayn Rand, philosophers like Erich Vogelin, Leo Strauss, and Gerhard Niemeyer, traditionalists like Thomas Molnar, John Lukács, and Ernst Vandenhaag, anti-communists like Willy Schlamm, Robert Strauss-Ippe, Stefan Poschoni, and there had been even one, quote, monarchist extreme right-wing liberal, of course, Erich von Kindel-Ledin. Well, being a Central European, I cannot help but proudly acknowledge that almost all of them were Central Europeans. All of them contributed mightily to American conservatism. On the other hand, American conservatism and libertarianism is a great inspiration for all Europeans. You will hear the same note from all of us. Conservatives and classical liberals in America have one advantage which Europeans don't have, and that advantage could be summarized by a word: movement. There is no conservative or classical liberal European movement. Why? I see two reasons. Firstly, Europe is one civilization, but not one nation, of course. There are many nations in Europe. The left is often internationalist and globalist. The right is often nationalist and localist. People on the left pay attention to events in foreign affairs. Few people on the right do. Left perceives itself mostly as a left, subdivided into several nations. On the other hand, right perceives itself mostly as a national right, a right in a particular nation, while right-wingers in other nations are, well, in other nations, which for many nationalist right-wingers means not allies at all. In other words, many right-wingers in Europe, being nationalists first and conservatives second, are less effective than their leftist counterparts. When eventually many on the right in Europe understand that their fight is primarily not in favor of their particular nation, but in favor of their common civilization, Western civilization, conditions may improve, and the European conservative movement may emerge. The second reason why there is no common conservative movement in Europe is caused by the fact that the right in Europe is deeply divided on one issue, and that is the issue of European integration. Most conservatives and classical liberals are Eurosceptics. However, there is a minority of conservatives and classical liberals who are in favor not necessarily of this incumbent European Union as it is, but they are in favor of a European federation as an ideal. The most famous among the former is Lady Thatcher. The most exemplary among the latter is Otto von Habsburg, 95 years old, former member of the European Parliament. Definitely both Baroness Thatcher and Archduke Otto are conservatives, but their opinions on the European issue are very opposite. Now, those are reasons for the lack of an organized conservative movement. What are weaknesses of conservative and classical liberal thought in Europe? I would mention two main reasons. First, statism, and second, secularism. The statist mentality in Europe expresses itself as a demand and an expectation on the part of the people that it is a primary duty of government to take care of them, to provide them with wealth and well-being. Even many self-identified center-right voters consider those expectations and that alleged duty of government to be for granted. No wonder that European politics is to the left of that one in America. But perhaps the most important difference between Europe and America is the fact that Europe is post-Christian and secular. What does it mean? What are the implications? Well, in my view, statism is one implication of European secularism. For example, if the only reality which exists is material, let us have as many material wealth as possible, which means socialism. Why? Because libertarian way towards wealth is full of hardships, efforts, hard work, and toil. On the other hand, socialist way towards wealth is quite easy. It consists of voting and elections. That's why atheist socialists will always beat atheist libertarians in the struggle to attract more atheist voters. What about children? Of course, they are joy, but they are nuisance as well. They cost time and money. They being a burden, why have children if there are no immortal souls? Why indeed? And that has been the conclusion of most of secular Europeans. They do not choose to have enough children. The European population is aging and dying off because secular Europeans do not have enough babies. Why? Are those reasons material? Is it poverty in Europe why people don't choose to have enough children? Well, probably not, because now this generation of Europeans is as wealthy as never had been before. Those reasons are spiritual and religious. European secularism and atheism have another negative consequence for freedom, and it is a mentality of appeasement. I mean appeasement of threats to freedom. Once again, individual atheists could be very brave and love freedom and prefer fight for freedom rather than to surrender and accept slavery. However, if secular post-Christian Europeans have comfortable lives and others are thrown to wolves, why not to choose appeasement, especially if others have to pay the price? If the threat is small now, but will materialize, will grow after I am dead, why to struggle with the threat now? Why not to appease it? There was a question this morning, why European liberals who are so intolerant of Christianity are so liberal, so tolerant towards extremely illiberal Islamists? Well, one of those reasons is fear. Why to make those people upset on us? A few Christians or Jews will kill those who are hostile towards Judaism or Christianity. Well, if you say something which is perceived as hostile about Islam, your life could be endangered. That's why many liberals are so tolerant towards illiberal threats. That's the mentality of appeasement. Let us live my life comfortably. I will die one day, and what happens, happens. That will not be my problem anymore. Okay, I wouldn't like to be a speaker, a prophet of doom and gloom in Europe. I would like to mention a few signs of hope. What are those signs of hope I see in Europe? First of all, Central and Eastern Europe, post-communist countries, are slightly different from Western Europe. The last time Western Europeans experienced totalitarianism, it had been in 1945, long time ago. The last time we in Central Eastern Europe have experienced totalitarianism, it was in late 80s. So we remember, our memories of communism are quite fresh. That's why people, I prefer to think in Central and Eastern Europe, do not share many illusions of many Western Europeans. We remember that world could be quite brutal, and we know that we should be grateful primarily to late President Liberator Ronald Reagan for our freedom. On the other hand, there are positive developments in Western Europe too. Events after September 11 have waken up many Western Europeans from their illusions. Murder of a movie director, death threats to those who exercise their freedom of speech, massive demonstrations against freedom of speech, riots. Those were wake-up calls from illusions of multiculturalism. Not a few Western European friends have told me that jihadism and Islamism could be a blessing in disguise. It could bring many so far complacent Europeans to their senses, to their philosophic, moral, and religious roots, to the heritage of the Western civilization. Those people may realize that their freedoms they enjoy are based on certain anthropology, on certain image of man as a being with inner, intrinsic dignity, and that that dignity is revealed by the Western religion and by the Western tradition and philosophy. Hence, the task for conservatives and classical liberals, and I would say all Western patriots, is twofold: to defeat Islamist terrorists by arms, and to defeat nihilists and relativists of the New Left by persuasion and culture. That two-track strategy for victory may succeed, but omitting any of both tracks does guarantee only defeat sooner or later. Fortunately, there are signs of a backlash against both Islamism and multiculturalism in Western Europe. But there is even more than a reactive backlash. There are active and constructive initiatives in Europe. 2 years ago, thanks to our Dutch friends, there has been established the Venenberg Society, modeled on this very Philadelphia Society. And last January, again in The Hague, the Netherlands, there was founded Center for European Renewal, modeled on the Intercollegiate Studies Institute. It will hold its first summer school this year in Madrid, Spain. Both Vandenberg Society and the Center for European Renewal unite European conservatives from the whole of Europe. They are truly pan-European institutions. And European classical liberals have started networking even earlier. There have been already 4 European Resource Bank meetings, modeled, of course, on the Heritage Foundation Resource Bank meetings. So Europe is not dead yet. Europe is not over yet. European conservatives and classical liberals have not been pushed to the ash heap of history yet. They can have a future, and they must have a future, if the very Europe has to have a future. Despair is not an option, but a sin. Instead of despair, there is one maxim for European conservatives and classical liberals to adopt and to act upon. It is a maxim from Morton Blackwell's Laws of the Public Policy Process. Pray as if it all depended on God. Work as if it all depended on you. Thank you.